All right, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Super Freak. I am your host, Talia. Feels really good to say that. For those of you who have been following the journey with the soul name that came in and me still in this kind of deep reset, I promise I have updates very soon on that. The full story will be available inside of the Healers Hub. And I will also talk a bit about it for paid subscribers on Substack. So look out for that essay. But it feels very good to say that. Still in between this fuller version, right? Essentially me being able to metabolize this level of light has required a tremendous amount from me. And I don't know if you're feeling this, but 2025 can fuck all the way off right now. It is coming in really, really hot with this intense level of kind of I'm not going to play anymore. You have to let go of the things that aren't serving you, whether you like it or not. And I have felt like this. And I mean, I was given the heads up, especially on the call with the D5 Christ Consciousness call that I did. I think it was in December of 24. I knew that this was going to be a death and rebirth year, but I didn't know, you know, I kind of didn't put together the dots that it was almost foreshadowing what this year was going to be like with these cycles that we're going in, a huge, massive collective die-off, but also individual thresholds being met right now. It's just been relentless for me personally the last 4 months. So for those who've been hanging in there, thank you. Like I said, I promise I'm going to have updates very soon. I'm just really grateful that the hub is just this intimate community where we get to hang out every month and drop in to the field and expand together. It's been really good for me as well. And that's going to get even more specialized. And I've got a couple of other things that I'm working on as well right now that I'm really, like I said, taking my time with, because there has been so much different insight in terms of the way that these particular patterns that I'm moving through have shown up, the architecture of them, the nuances, the layers of them that I'm looking forward to sharing with all of you. Again, if you're inside the hub, I'm going to give you a very in-depth breakdown of my process. And if you're listening to this podcast now, thank you guys for being here. Today, I'm going to talk about grid lines and what they mean and location paralysis and the importance of location and why some places feel better than others and what it's actually like to co-regulate with a location, because that's actually what's happening. And when these, let's say, environments kind of expire, what happens and what to look out for. This would be very multi-layered. I want to talk about not only transcending grid lines, but especially in the energetic, psychosomatic, and astrocartographic, if you will, sense. Like, feels like stepping beyond this invisible architecture that kind of once shaped our perception, behavior, and memory fields. That's what we're going to go through in this cast. So let's jump right in. Oh, and this is going to be a follow-up as almost an extended part two from the podcast I did just a few episodes ago about grid lines and why you are drawn to a place always through memory, resonance, and a somatic recursion. Right? A soul level recursion that you need to close. So a question that kind of I asked is, because I've been on this 4 month five-country sojourn, if you will, kind of bobbing around, physically having to be in locations in order to get this certain level of intelligence. And most of you, or those of you who have been with me since the beginning of Super Freak, know that I have been on a traveling, full-time, bobbing around a country-to-country extravaganza for quite some time now. And that has really run its course for me. And so that, coupled with this incredible level of like information packets coming in and old identity dying off and a convergence of all these timelines, is, you know, trying to get assimilated into my system at once, has been a very, it's put my system in a crazy level of overdrive. And so my main question about all of this is, why do we have to go to all these places in order to retrieve this information? Can't we just tune into it and the information reveals itself? And like, there has to be a more efficient way to do this. And so it opened up a bunch of questions. So first, the question I had, specifically because of what I've been going through myself, and many of you have this as well, before I get into the question of like, what do grid lines actually do and why are we drawn to them? I want to talk about astrology and numerology really quick and astrocartography as a backdrop before I continue forward. So this gets asked a lot when I'm just meeting people in the world, because people are going to assume that anybody who does any type of, if I say consciousness architecture or healer, or I try different ways to describe what I do, they're going to immediately go to, like, depending on their level of awareness, astrology or numerology. So does astrology or numerology actually affect people? This is a question that came in through the hub, and I'm going to answer this as a yes and no, because the short answer is they don't cause behavior, but they pattern perception, and perception organizes the field. So yes, they matter, but they matter if you put your attention and your awareness onto them, but not in the way that most people think that they matter. So it's symbolic. It's a symbolic mapping system. Okay. They encode archetypal resonance. So they don't make things happen. Numerology and astrology don't make things happen, right? They offer a blueprint. So it's a symbolic fingerprint, essentially, of your entry point into form, a snapshot of the frequency conditions that you were born into. It's like, hey, by the way, this is a little bit of a heads up. When you logged into this reality, you know, you were part of this consciousness substrate. When, you know, you were born, these things were going on in the all that is, in the collective and in the world. So it's a map of potential patterns, themes, and lessons, but not outcomes. So just because you have a cartography line or an astrocartography line that's, you know, Venus conjunct Pluto in South Africa in the 12th house of Jupiter or whatever, doesn't mean that you're like magically gonna get all of these things that you've been like, oh my God, I just had such good luck when I came to this place. Okay. It could also mean that someone presented that information to you. You got really excited by that. You were in an extraordinarily high vibrational, let's say, experience. And because you had a different possibility that synchronicities presented themselves. So it's not fixed, is the point. So astrology kind of doesn't equal fate. It's an interface. Numerology also doesn't equal truth. It's essentially another way to look at a frequency container. So the moment the collective has kind of, in many ways, mistaken the map for the territory, that's what keeps you in paradox. It keeps you trapped. So these things kind of describe what's happening. They do not create it. We do. We create our reality based on a myriad of things, right? The things, the slave acronym, the conditions and qualitative experiences that we grew up with in childhood, and epigenetic, right? Part of that slave and everything else, trajectories. So those are the things that have a much deeper influence on how we navigate our realities. For more information on that, I will do likely a deeper post on that in the hub. If you guys are interested and you're listening to this and you're in the hub, let me know and I'll do that. Okay, so what do grid lines do? And why are we drawn to certain places? In short, my answer is contrast, closure, or codes. So you're either going to be drawn to a place that is going to agitate you, okay? It's going to aggravate these unresolved recursion patterns in your cellular DNA memory. So they're going to pull up and out of you based on the energy of these, let's say, overlays, right? The ley lines, the overlays that happen with specific regions in Earth's geography itself. There are, she has all of these overlays, right? There's meridian systems in her, just like there's meridian systems in us. We have this electromagnetic interface with our nervous system. She has these ley lines. So these overlays and the electromagnetic field with Earth itself is almost like her nervous system. And so when you link in your nervous system to another nervous system, to her nervous system, you're co-regulating with Earth, basically. You're in a co-regulation cycle with the grid line that you are in. That's why certain places feel really terrible for people and certain places feel more nourishing for people. Now, there's caveats to all of this. They're energetic highways, right? They store, they transmit, and then they amplify certain, specific frequencies of memory and consciousness within us. So it's not just physical terrain, the earth plane. It's a living consciousness architecture that we're tuning into. So people who have a very deep imprint of something that happened to them in childhood, for example, they grew up near the ocean and they have very fond memories of, being by the ocean and being with a parent by the ocean, they will be able to recall that memory that has been imprinted onto to the nervous system, and it has been accommodated by the cellular memory of what that meant. So the brain has a narrative now. So every time that person needs to go relax, they have to be by the water. That is a very clear somatic, cognitive, behavioral, let's say, trajectory or sequence that a grid line will provide for somebody who has a very specific memory around the water. So it's almost like you're reading the land through the body. That's what you want to pay attention to. So I have been in incredibly solar activating grid lines for the last 4 months. And it has been almost over activating and agitating all this recursed memory. When I say there's been a convergence of multiple timelines all at once, I haven't experienced, let's say, that level of intensity with convergence of timelines before, but I got a lot of information, so that part was kind of interesting. So how do you know you have transcended a grid line? So this is what I'll tell you. When you do not need the external environment to regulate you, okay, you don't have to reference off of the sameness and the structure and the stability and, let's say, the flatness or the boredom of what that environment is providing for you. Like, you're really starting to get anxious because you're not getting the same feedback from the environment that you're in, then likely it is time for you to change the screen, meaning your environment needs to shift. That environment that you're in, because you've created such a strong geometric structure, like if you think about it, all your walking and all your movement creates its own geometry. That's why people will just get into roteness with their routine and they won't even remember how they got to work, because the ego kind of steps in, the ego itself, is a function, and it knows exactly where it's going and exactly what to do, and it'll just get you there. It's like self-driving. That's pretty much what the ego is. And to interrupt that pattern, you have to create a new pathway, very much like our brain works. So every time you do the same stuff, you create a very fixed geometric structure that you operate inside of. So changing your environment means you change the geometry that you get to interface with. You literally change the screen. So your body has to reorient with new information. Every single grid line is an information packet, has information packets for you. And depending on that level of information, it can activate you, it can bring you in new information, it can close things down, and it can also give you a lot of contrast. It'll, again, we need that polarity, we need that challenge, the opposite, in order for us to see what we have to close out, and also what new information that we need to rewrite or that's available for us. Just went through this with Egypt, which we'll also talk about in the hub. But in short, I was absolutely slated to go. Everything was in order. It was a day before my flight and my visa got declined. I applied again, declined. I've never had a visa decline in my entire travel history. And I had a full sequence of what I was supposed to do on that grid line, what was supposed to happen. And right before, the day before my flight, that was a restless night for me. And I did a huge removal, closed out a bunch of timeline stuff, felt that that is exactly what I needed to do. I didn't even think about the trip, really. I just knew that all of this needed to get reconciled within myself, just as a quick sidebar. And then decline came in and I was like, reroute, fine. So I had to sit with myself and move into a different grid line. But this is why this is very much in my field right now and why I want to talk about it. So you know that you have transcended a grid line. Let me go into the layers. First, cognitively, you stop looping kind of the same thoughts in different locations of the city or the town that you're in. Most of you will think about maybe where you want to go. It'll all be a cognitive hit and you'll immediately go and start researching it because that's going to start giving you the nervous system predictive information so it doesn't go into high holy panic. So again, I have had to reorient my time, my space and time coordinates constantly. Unpacking and challenging and being challenged in a new environment with new language sets, with new visa requirements, with new bureaucracies, with rule sets, with cultural conditions, kind of constantly over and over again. And I apparently needed that challenge at one point in my life. Now I no longer need it. Another cognitive layer would be that you feel really muted in the environment that you're in. And you'll look externally and start, because the brain is going to, through bias, right? Confirmation bias, look for the things that you hate about your environment. It's got way too much traffic. There's way too many people moving here, or there's political unrest. I just don't feel comfortable anymore. The cost of living is too high, on and on and on. And all of that absolutely might be true. And those are all normal cognitive emotional responses. You might have the emotional attachment to the fact that you kind of feel like you've been in the same place for too long and you're not learning anything about yourself anymore. That there's this fear that comes up. There's anxiety that you don't know where to go and you kind of feel stuck and you have a rent-controlled place. And if you move again and you don't know, you don't like it, then what? So there's a lot of emotion that comes up. Some of you guys might actually have physical release, like crying, and there might be all this grief and overwhelm that you feel before the peace comes in when it comes to moving a location, or when you arrive at a location, you'll be overwhelmed, or you have like something will overcome you and you'll have this emotional release. Pay attention to all those things. So the somatic layer which is one of the most important important information systems that you can be really, really in tune with, which is what we work on a lot in the hub, is the somatic intelligence with pulling information through the body. Because it's one thing to be pattern aware and pattern literate and start to really get a handle on the information beneath the behavior. It's another to draw and pull it through the system. And a grid line at first can really help you do that. Like I talked about earlier this year when I was in this kind of forced grounding in it was a masculine grid line, you know, being in the southern part of Idaho. But that forced grounding shot me in my body. It was very little external noise, almost no noise, almost to the point where everything was like kind of the same color. A lot of that was in Oman as well. There was no static. There was no moving billboards. There was nothing. It was just very white, pale, washed out colors against a very dry, arid backdrop. And that can be, it was because all that sensory information was so flattened, right? It was one note. Everyone is basically in uniform. A lot of this information can get pulled up and out. When I was in southern Idaho, there was so much natural mineral gemstone energy coming through the land that it was almost a different initiation, that forced grounding. But I ran into a lot of restlessness and I would say boredom. And so a lot of that has come up for me recently in the last 4 months. So if you're feeling all of that, that means change is coming. There's a brewing, okay? There's you're not feeling held by the land right now because there is this big reclamation happening anyway, in addition to the fact that your environment right now has you feeling a certain way. So this can get really nuanced because as someone who's constantly changed their environment, there's a whole other set of patterns that come with that as well. So you have to check and see if you're actually bypassing or in avoidance or chasing something, or if you're really looking to change the screen because there's an uncomfortability with feeling that kind of low affect, boredom kind of sense feeling. When new architecture is coming in, an old architecture is dying out, you're in this flattened space, you kind of don't have any direction, you're not really sure what to go, so you immediately look at location in order to give you that direction. So if you're feeling that way, it's a good podcast for us all. Okay, so back to somatically. Again, all of these different layers informing you how you know you've transcended a location. You know that when your body stops responding to you, okay, and this is how you know you're in a grid line that's a little bit more amplified. Like I've talked a lot about almost a problematic awareness of when you know you're in a grid line that's agitating you and it's not really encouraging you anymore. When it just feels really, really relentless, like the grid line is really affecting you and everyone around you, it is deeply, deeply karmic. You're in a karmic completion. And so it would be interesting to start asking a different set of questions, which I will get to at the end of this podcast. I have some fantastic questions for you guys. So get, you know, your pen and your pad out and write this stuff down and really work these questions almost like an inventory, because you might think you feel a certain way, but something will reveal itself. So if you're in a deep karmic line, okay, if you're in deep contrast, it is karmic. So if it is hysterical, it's historical, meaning it is an epigenetic resurgence and it's ready to get recognized, okay, and collapsed. So there is the agitation side, and then there's also the side where you know you've moved into a more supportive grid line when your body actually responds to it. You're sleeping well, your digestion relaxes, your nervous system relaxes, your body just relaxes. You feel brighter. You feel more supported and more held. And notice when people are really happy in their environment, what they like about it, they're going to tell you how their body feels. I just really feel so good with this weather. I love this weather, my body feels good, or they're going to go with sensory experiences, or they've moved some location for work, okay, for job, and pay attention to where their posture when people have moved for work. Pay attention to how they navigate reality. You see this a lot in New York City, and you can see how people absolutely abuse their bodies because they're totally disassociated from it. It's all cognitive and perceptual control and no like full body literacy. Or it's the opposite. People have to work so hard on their bodies to try to stay anchored within it. It's a fascinating, fascinating experiment to actually just observe people in really, really high sensory environments, like very dense city-based environments. So another somatic indicator would be your jaw. Pay attention to like all of a sudden having TMJ and then not having it. Nervous system tightness, how tight your body is, where it unwinds, if your shoulders drop, or if they're up against your ears still, if you just feel like you're on edge, then you know you're in an aggravating environment. If you actually just feel more relaxed and you can drop deeper into your body, you can make any environment work for you. But when you need to, like, when you don't have to and no longer kind of care what your environment is or isn't, when you've reached a neutral place with it and you feel like you're really closed out, the land will just usher you right on out. Like when I left Southern Idaho, everything synced up so beautifully. I was just like, had deep reverence. Thank you so much. I got what I needed. We helped each other. Off we go. And it was like synchronicity, synchronicity, boom, boom, boom. But that came from me being very, very deeply embodied because of the level of prediction and stability and boredom and mundane life and so on and so forth. That felt really good to, that does feel very good to all of us who are doing any type of transformational work. So there's something to be said about leaning in to that, because what are we really looking for when we're looking for a screen change? What do we actually want? Usually we want a different or deeper level of recognition within ourselves, and we're hoping that the land or a grid change or, you know, moving to Europe will give us that. But everywhere you go, your patterns are going to go with you. And there you are, right? There's the recursion still there. And or if you go to, let's say, a place that you grew up, like you kind of go back home and you get different land and you kind of live near your family again, any karmic family shit is going to come up, and it's going to come in hot because you're at a completely different resonance. And whatever is not meant for you, whatever you've been bypassing or controlling or trying, whatever you've been doing to keep yourself safe is not going to work anymore, because it's all a performance. And this work is all about dissolving performance to be closest to your frequency signature. And when you realize that performance shows up in all these different crazy ways, there will be certain people who are drawn to a grid line that is wildly performative. New York, Los Angeles, all the major cities. Even some of the ones that aren't. You'll just kind of see that people play a character of themselves. And you're like, wow, what is actually real anymore? Like, I've had this experience recently where I was like, damn, I really am in a simulation. I feel like I'm in this world and really not of it. Like, hello, Bueller, Bueller. Like, is anyone in their bodies? Are we all, like, is everyone just disassociated? Wow. Okay, back to signs that you have transcended. You feel complete with where you are. Okay? Old dynamics kind of ghost themselves. Like, people have faded, offers have closed, the doors kind of lock gently without effort. Your own magnetism shifts. Like, what once kind of ignored you now invites you. You might have visited an environment and it take, you know, like a few times before you decide to move there, like permanently. And it took you that long to sync up with the field itself. Like, it felt really too adventurous or too big or too scary or too much uncertainty involved with it. And so let's say you visited a handful of times, and then by the last time you were like, wow, I don't have any of the same feelings I did when I first, you know, came to this location. Or you've been traveling to the same location every summer and you just feel really complete with that geography, the geometry of what that geography has actually offered you. You'll know. It will be a feeling that you are ready to go. And I've talked to a lot of you guys in sessions about screen changes and grid changes. Are you guys moving here? Are you thinking about moving? You know, are you going to go here, move there? And I can tell you, it's not anything that I'll say to you. You will get drawn to a place for a reason. And I will say, the learning isn't in the location. It's in the going. All of the patterns that are going to come up for you are going to be in the location change and packing up your life and facing all of that. And if you're doing it with a partner, it's what you guys are going to learn together. That whole process is going to, again, contrast, closure, or codes. You're going to get that individually and together. And then you arrive at the location, and that is going to be an amplifier and another thing to actually either hold that transition or offer you one of those three C's while you move into neutrality. So where I am now is nothing karmic. It is totally a neutral environment for me that I am just hanging out in. It's kind of an easy place to be in, even though don't love it. So some of you have this syndrome that I call lost starseed syndrome. And it's this feeling of never having found your place. And what I mean by lost starseed, and it's not even, it doesn't have to be isolated just to starseeds. It's for the souls who have never felt like they belonged anywhere. And that is amplified, okay, or highlighted or accommodated by deep soul records of either feeling like you don't know where or who your soul family really is, and it can feel deeply isolating and lonely, right? You're in the world but not of it. You don't really feel like you can connect with most people, okay? And that you have this connection to a specific, let's say, system, and you feel like you just want to go home. So that could be either the lost star seed that just needs to reconnect to the consciousness, and then once that connection is made, it's kind of like a Wi-Fi with a different server. Once you get moved to that server, that starts to reconcile itself. Or this feeling of never feeling like you have belonged. That is usually amplified by a childhood that where you were not recognized. It was full of anxiety and instability. So moved, divorce, there was too much of an age difference between siblings, so you were kind of left to play on your own. And if you just simply didn't feel safe in your environment, if that registered, coupled with all of this old soul record information of being exiled, not feeling safe, being killed off in multiple lifetimes, or coming from a family that had deep levels of survivability or orphaned, right? Not really knowing either you are an orphan or came from an orphan family or have adoption in your records, you're going to feel like this as well. I don't feel like I belong is really the frequency beneath. I just really haven't ever found my place that I want to live. And because I just don't know, I get stuck in paralysis, I freeze, and so I just stay. And what is really happening there is cognitively, you feel like if I just find the right place, I'll finally feel at peace. Maybe it's me, like I'm actually the problem. Maybe I just can't settle anywhere. And then the shame comes in. Once I move, I'll know who I am. Or this emotional layer that comes in with the chronic displacement, longing, nostalgia for a home that doesn't exist yet. And so there's subtle grief woven into the restlessness. And then The somatic layer of that is this tension in the solar plexus, this disempowerment. That's all where identity lives, this chest space into the solar. Right above the solar is the emotional body. That's why people emotionally eat. And then you get vagal dysregulation. Your circadian rhythm disrupts. You move into adrenal fatigue. And then that cycle repeats. The freeze. You move back into the cognitive and then try to, you know, make this list, very neurotypical list of pros and cons, right? And those who don't resonate with that type of logic will make either a spontaneous decision and then regret it and collapse into shame, or stay stuck in the paralysis of fear of making the wrong decision and then feeling trapped. So if I use me as an example, this set of patterns presented themselves with constantly and frequent relocations. This is like, I would say, in the last 5 years, because I was traveling full time and then kind of grounded for 9 months, 8 months, and now this uproot again. But before that, I was on and off in two cities for 15 years between New York and LA, and feeling similar in that I felt stuck and I collapsed with the decision paralysis. So I just put everything into whatever I was building at the time and kind of shelved that set of patterns because I couldn't unpack all of the things I was packing at the same time. So now all of this is up for me. The novelty of the challenge, the excitement, and having to unlock a city and navigate the unknown, in addition to with this particular 4 month jaunt being so deeply ancestral and deeply encoded with memory, I haven't quite had this level of intensity in a while with locations in terms of the uproot, like I said, the convergence of all these timelines happening all at once, which has been very interesting. So because, you know, I'm me and I go through these things and then metabolize them and share them with you, you know, mid-process, close to end of process, this is what this looks like. So another layer would be there's a discontinuity in the field that you're in. You're kind of always scanning for an exit, or you're always looking at where you could go next. Or maybe we should go there. Or maybe we could go there, right? Or maybe I should go here. What would that actually look like? More research, more deep into the Reddits, more what do people say? And I can tell you that what's happening online right now and what's happening in real life are similar but very different. So if you are interested in a place, just go and see what happens. Take a trip, change the screen, boots on the ground, and see what the information in the land has to tell you, and then make your decision from there. So I'm going to leave you with some questions, because inside of all of this is paradox, okay? And there are keys inside of noticing your behavior with location. There's lots and lots of keys. And like with anything, it's not one pattern. It's always shows up in bundles. So location fatigue and gridline fatigue, just to complete the thought, can you actually transcend a gridline 100%? You do not need to be in your astrocartography, Jupiter line or Venus line to find love. You don't need to do any of that. If it happens to align, and you look at it and you're like, oh, that's actually really interesting. Those things line up. Then that's just confirmation that you're on the right track, right? That there's information for you there, that you're in a field that feels amplifying, etc. It's the same with numerology. If you're driving and you happen to see some numbers in a row, or, you know, a license plate with a word that you just, or a country that you actually want to visit, those are all keys for you. Confirmation and keys, but they're not destiny. So just keep that in mind. You're like, oh, perfect. That's actually a good little key. Thank you, synchronicities and the field mirroring me back. I will take it. But eventually you do not need to like live in Sedona and be near all these vortices to be deeply connected and present with yourself and get upgrades and keys and all these things. You don't have to be in these environments to live a more spiritual life and get deeper access to yourself. I don't have to live in these grid lines that I just visited because I have so much memory there. The idea is to close all these recursions and live as presently as you can from your original and authentic blueprint in form. That's the goal. And if there's land that can help support that, fantastic. Does it dictate your life? No. If you feel like you're tired where you are and the land has, you're flattened by it, you're not getting held by it anymore, like you're really ready for a change, then make the decision and start moving towards that change. You cannot fuck up your life. I'm telling you. Believe me when I tell you, I have blown up my life so many times. And in theory, like on the outside, blown it up. Every single time my internal architecture has completely reconfigured and it has brought me closer, always closer to my innate and perpetual intelligence, to my initial blueprint. Like when I look back at my life this last year, what emerged, I did not expect. I didn't have any idea that I would be, you know, reconfiguring Super Freak again, that I would be, right, the soul name thing would come, that I'd be converging all these timelines at once, that I would have this, that, I mean, breadcrumbed, right? I have been wildly breadcrumbed to a completely different set of information that I was shown. I was shown certain things, and those things happened almost on the day, and then other things haven't. So all of it is information. You can't fuck up your life. You just got to go because you can't stay stuck. And the stuckness is why it's getting really hard right now. That unresolved recursion, that stuckness is keeping you in a loading, buffering position. So once you make a decision, the body can actually relax and move into what the next indicated action is. And if you don't know and you're not sure, then settle deeper into the body somatically and information will present itself. So before I give you these questions, I am just kind of tuning in to see if there's any other information that needs to come in. Astrocartography, is that complete? Yeah, it's okay. So it's not about where you should go. It reveals where your field meets memory and where your soul architecture rubs against unresolved recursion, and or where your nervous system may either stabilize or short circuit depending on your capacity. So if no place feels good or if some places feel good, the question isn't, what's wrong with this grid line, or it must be the grid line. It's what unprocessed recursion is being activated wherever I go. So think about it from that perspective. And then ask yourself these four questions. Where was I when I first felt safe in my body? Is that memory tied to a place or a presence? What am I postponing by not allowing myself to belong somewhere? Or what am I postponing by not allowing myself to just go to the place? Is my avoidance about safety or is it about expansion? Am I afraid that I'm going to actually fail or collapse? Or am I afraid that I'm actually going to expand into the version I've been working hard to render? If I could feel safe in my own field, would the question of place still matter? Those questions I will leave you with. Look out for the essay about my personal experience and the emergence of Talia and kind of the death of Tally, if you will. And I look forward to your questions. Consider joining the Hub. It's a fantastic way to keep yourself in momentum. Again, that continuum of time and space, literally you actually continuing your expansion and contraction process, stabilizing in the new versions of yourself as you dissolve old identity architecture and simultaneously recreate a new one. All right, you guys, thank you again for leaving that 5-star review. Your girl loves you. And I will see y'all in a couple weeks. Take care.